And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Game Notes, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Dave DeFore, and it would not be a Utah Jazz podcast without Tony Jones. What's up, Tony?
I mean, it definitely wouldn't be one without me, but would it be one without you as well?
Well, I think that there are a lot of other Utah Jazz podcasts that don't have either one of us, but at The Athletic, it would be impossible to do one without Tony Jones. They used to do this one without me. So I think technically, yeah, it has to have Tony Jones, but not necessarily.
Yeah,
the day
but
before.
You know what? I mean, since you took over, I mean, like, Jazz Twitter just identifies with you.
Do they?
And yeah, and you know,
it's only because I defend Rudy. It's only because I defend Rudy.
And it's because, and they call you David.
Oh well, that we have one person to thank for that. But I digress. Hey, look, the Jazz are 8-3 right now. They dropped that game to the Heat over the weekend, but I think that the fight that they showed in coming back at the end of that game, that was great to see. Not that we doubted that this team could do that, but you know, it's important early in the year to kind of set that sort of tone. And Tony, I think that comeback is why we saw them perform the way they did against Atlanta on Tuesday. And you know, yeah, they dropped the stinker on Sunday to Orlando. Ignore that game. Those happen. They were so worked up and you know, had put so much energy into that game Saturday against the Heat. Orlando game, it's almost a schedule loss. But that game against the Hawks on Tuesday, it was huge for them. And I thought they looked fantastic, Tony.
I thought they looked solid. I wouldn't go as far as to say fantastic.
Oh, no, the bench looked great. The bench looked great on Tuesday.
I thought the defense was really good. You know, you hold albeit Atlanta was on a back-to-back, and they're playing at altitude, and their legs died in the last 15 minutes. But, you know, the Jazz were really good defensively, and I thought they were really good at defending Trae Young. And even though Trae, you know, did some things, and Kevin Huerter was fantastic. But you know, the Jazz defended. They defended really well. Like, listen, we've talked so much about what they are offensively, and like, I think we're both in agreement that we're not worried about them offensively, right? Like, it's
no
they're
way.
Gonna make shots.
Yeah.
So we don't care if they're making shots, missing shots, if they're shooting 30% collectively, if they're doing whatever. You know, it's just about what they're doing defensively and what their rotations are. And I thought defensively they were pretty good. And I thought they've been really good for much of this season. So I thought it was a good win. On Thursday, we will have the first time this year in game 12 where the Utah Jazz are playing two consecutive games in the same city. And, you know, away we go in terms of the Jazz having their first extended, you know, homestand of the season.
Yeah, well, before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit more about the defense on Tuesday night because there were some interesting things there. Number one, Rudy Gobert defending guards in space. We saw a little bit. We've seen it a little bit more this year. We saw him guarding Trae Young on the perimeter. Tony, I think that they need to keep doing this. It looked pretty good. He looked comfortable.
Well, I think one of the tweaks that you're seeing from Quinn Snyder is that we're going from the Jazz being almost exclusively a drop big team to a team that's switching up its coverages. So what you saw last night in the scheme last night was, okay, we're going to drop, and then switch, right? All right, so let's explain this in layman's terms. Trae Young takes the screen. Rudy Gobert's job is to be up and hedge and take away that initial three-point look and then drop into the paint as Trae Young probes with the dribble and keep dropping into the paint. And then when Trae Young does his Steve Nash search dribble under the basket and goes through and restarts his attack, then you switch, right? And then that leaves Rudy Gobert and Hassan Whiteside on the switch. Now the deterrence to that, or the object to that, is to deter the initial three-point look, deter Trae Young's floater, which is, he's got one of the best floater games in the league, deter the floater game. And then on top of that, make the switch. And then when you make the switch, instead of the guard recovering, it takes two or three more seconds off the shot clock. And then boom, all of a sudden the Hawks are going, have to start another attack with about five or six left on the clock. And it worked beautifully. You know, Trae Young got some stuff. Kevin Herter most notably got a lot of stuff. And the Hawks actually made a lot of threes. But, you know, by the end of the game, you know, the extra dribbles, the extra effort that it took to restart attacks, it really got to Atlanta's legs. And then those shots that they were making in the first two and a half quarters were really going dry towards the end of the game.
You mentioned Hassan Whiteside there. I thought that, well, he's been pretty good for them to start the season, and not unexpectedly. He's fine in a limited role, but I think he's exceeded expectations a little bit, been able to hold up the defense when Rudy's not out there. But also, I like what he's bringing to the offense of some of these bench units. You know, he's got good touch around the basket. His offensive rebounding has been useful. Setting nice screens, especially for Jordan Clarkson. Hassan is – he's been a good addition so far, right?
Yeah, I think you're underselling him. I think he's been
– There you fantastic. Go.
I think he's been
– Well, I've just – look, I've been through the Hassan Whiteside experience, and the second you start to oversell –
Dog.
You just get the worst.
Me too. But here's the thing. Like, me too. I've been through the Hassan Whiteside experience. I watched him in Sacramento. I watched him in Portland, even though he's a little bit more engaged in Portland. I watched him in Miami. And I always thought the exact same thing. Like, he puts up great stats. He doesn't help with winning. And, you know, you watch his pick and roll defense and some of these other places. And then now you're watching, I'm watching him now. And I'm like, if he had played like this in his prime defensively, in terms of the pick being in pick and roll, this guy would have made some all-star teams. And
I don't disagree with that. I mean, he's playing really, really well. And I actually think that the partnership between him and Eric Pascal has been pretty good. And I'm curious to see how much that continues when Rudy Gay comes back, and you know what those minutes are going to look like. But the Jazz certainly feel like they are a more versatile team this year, and somehow deeper.
They're very much deeper and more versatile. Like I think significantly so. You know, and. You know, I want to get on Whiteside. So what was it, 3 years ago? What was it, 2 years ago that the Jazz brought in Ed Davis and Jeff Green?
Yeah.
And they didn't work. Like, they didn't work. You know, the Jazz won the offseason with those moves, along with you know, obviously trading for Mike Conley and signing Bojan Bogdanović in free agency. Like, they won the offseason. And you know, Jeff Green didn't work and Ed Davis didn't work. And the Jazz had non-Rudy, minutes issues for so much of that season. And, you know, obviously that went a long way towards the end of their season, because anytime that Rudy Gobert was off the floor, you know, the Jazz would, you know, the Jazz would bleed net rating. Let's just say they would bleed net rating. So, you know, this is the first time in Rudy Gobert's in Rudy Gobert's career. And you guys know how I feel about Derek Favors. But this is the first time in Rudy Gobert's career that, you know, there's another center on the roster that allows them to play the exact same style of basketball that they play with Rudy Gobert on the floor. And, you know, that continuity is huge. Like, you know, so you've got 48 minutes of a pretty dominant rim protector, 48 minutes of dominant rebounding. And, you know, and it's really helping the defense, and it's helping Donovan Mitchell in terms of, you know, being able to play with Whiteside in a lot of lineups. It's just helping. He's just been, you know, an A-plus signing so far.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
In your article at The Athletic that went up on Wednesday, you mentioned how the upcoming homestand, and I guess the current homestand now, because Tuesday night was the first of 10 out of 12 games in a stretch at home. And this is huge for the Jazz because they are really, really good at home. They just don't lose a lot of games there. I don't know if it's altitude or it's just their role players are such high-level role players and they step up a little bit more at home. Maybe it's all of the above. But they've got 9 of their next 11 at home. No back-to-backs until after Thanksgiving. And it seems like the Jazz
could. And
that could,
back-to-back after Thanksgiving is New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. So that should be two wins, theoretically, at least on paper. So this is a chance for Utah, while a bunch of other would-be contenders are scuffling, they can actually put some distance between themselves and the rest of the pack. It's kind of them and the Warriors right now with a good opportunity here to run away a little bit, because we know that the first 20 games of the regular season are usually fairly indicative of the standings at the end of the season. So this is a hugely important stretch for the Jazz, but one that they should be ready to meet. You agree?
So, I mean, it was the reason why, you know, remember when we went back through, when we went through the schedule at the end, at the beginning of the season, I said, you know, I think there's a chance that the Jazz start 4-6 or 5-5. And if that happens, Jazz fans should not be worried, because look at what's on the other side. And they started 7-3, and it, you know, they started 7-3, you know, against one of the toughest travel schedules in the league. Maybe I think there was one other team that played their first 10 different cities. You know, so that was no doubt, you know, that's just hard to do. It's just hard to play 10 straight games or 11 straight games, which is what the Jazz play. It's hard to play 11 straight games in different cities. Like, that's just very, very difficult. So, you know, I thought that there was a chance that the Jazz would be 5-5 or 4-6. They'd lose some games that, you know, they wouldn't lose under different circumstance. And, you know, and then, you know, the schedule will pay it back. So that the Jazz finished that stretch 7-3, and then, you know, got off to a good start in this stretch to go to 8-3, then, yeah, I would be pretty encouraged if I were a Jazz fan, because as the homestand persists, you know, you're going to get more comfortable, more and more comfortable at home. The two road games are against Sacramento and Oklahoma City. And, you know, neither one of those are on a back-to-back. You know, so the Pacers are going to be in Denver on Wednesday night, and then, you know, tailing of a back-to-back on Thursday in Utah. That's going to be really tough for them. The Miami Heat are going to be in their third game in four nights by Saturday afternoon, you know, after a back-to-back in Los Angeles. And I don't know where their second game of that back-to-back is. I think it might be both Los Angeles teams. And then, you know, that'll be your third game in four nights. And then on top of that, that's an afternoon game. So then you shave another 4 hours off. So, you know, and obviously Philly's not going to have Joel Embiid.
A little bit of a gift there, so to speak. Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, it's a nice chance for the Jazz to really pile up some wins, which would be good for them, because remember at the beginning of the year, we were like, oh, you know, look at that December trip. That should be fine. It's Cleveland. It's Washington.
And all those teams look tough, man. The Cleveland Cavaliers are tough, man. They are fun. I mean,
Washington's number one in the East at this point.
It's amazing. All right. Well, let's talk health a little bit, because, you know, this is a team that it's a little bit older, and a guy that we haven't seen yet, Rudy Gay. You got an update on him. I mean, he's expected to be a large part of their plans for the playoffs. We've yet to see it. What's his status?
He's been medically cleared to take the next step in his return to play. So he's playing 2-on-2 and 3-on-3. At this point, he will be evaluated again on Monday. I am told that if that evaluation goes well, he can ramp up to 4s and 5s. You know, so he's right on schedule to where the Jazz wanted him to be. And, you know, I would, you know, this is purely this part is purely me just guessing. But I'm guessing that, you know, if everything goes well with the ramp ups and everything, that, you know, he can be back sometime before Christmas.
How does the team feel about Joe Ingles' minutes? Are they still trying to get those down?
Well, if they're not, they should be. You know, he Joe hasn't looked fresh this year. And, you know, the thing that I am seeing is his usage is down from where it normally is. So he's not taking. So, you know, even if the minutes are up, the effort in the minutes is down, because he doesn't have the ball in his hands as much. But, you know, I mean, you know, just from where I sit, I would almost put him in the Mike Conley situation in terms of not playing him on both ends of back to backs. It's a little different with Joe because Joe will fight you to play. And, you know, he's just a guy that loves to play basketball. And I understand where the Jazz are coming from in terms of Joe, because if you sit Mike in back to backs, then you need Joe's playmaking so much to really be able to have some continuity between lineups. Because if you don't have Joe out there, then what you have is just a little bit too much a little bit too much on Donovan Mitchell. So
yeah, well, at a certain point, you got to have players, right? Like you can't set everybody on back to back. So you're probably looking at a situation where they're going to have to stagger the rest a little bit, and maybe it's not necessarily back to backs, but maybe it's like two or three games in a row, right? Like get a guy a couple of games off here and there, and then hope that rest sort of adds up. I don't know. I mean, this is the trickiest part about having a team that's, I hate to call it aging, but every team technically is. This team, especially with the way it depends on Conley and Ingles for their playmaking off the ball with Donovan in their best lineups. Yeah, you're right. That's going to be tricky for them to sort out for the rest of the season. This is why Rudy Gay needs to come back.
Well, I was just about to make that point. You get Rudy Gay back, and all of a sudden Eric Paschal is now your 10th guy. And then now you can start resting guys in the front court because you know that Eric Paschal could step in and play 20 minutes a night. Like you know that now. Like he's been – you didn't know that at the beginning of the season, but he's more than proven that he can step in and be a member of the rotation on any night that you need.
Yeah, every single time you get to add an actual NBA body to your roster, it's a good thing. And especially for a team, you know, that has these aspirations that Utah has. This isn't about April and May. This is literally about getting you to April and May with those guys having logged as few miles as possible while having the best success you can. And yeah, Rudy Gay, look, he is going to be a game changer for them, not just from a you know, depth perspective, but style of play. I'm really interested to see what this team is going to look like with a bunch of guards and a couple of wings and Rudy Gay at the five. They have some real potential here for disruptive offense, I think.
Well, I wrote that in my story. Like, I mean, if the Rudy Gay that, or maybe I tweeted it, but if the Rudy Gay that shows up for the Jazz is the Rudy Gay that's been playing the last 2 years, that played the last 2 years for the San Antonio Spurs, then, you know, that's a potential game changer for the ceiling of this group because he was really good. Like, if you go back and look at those last 2 years with the Spurs, he was so good. And, you know, what people don't talk about is that he was really good defensively as well. But, you know, he was still good enough offensively last year that, you know, even with DeMar DeRozan on the roster, Greg Popovich was going to him at the end of games and putting the ball in his hands at the end of games. You know, so, you know, he played 236 minutes last year at the center spot. So, you know, he can play the five. You know, he can play the four and defend the four. You know that he can play the three offensively. Like, he can still play the three offensively. I'm not sure if he can defend threes. But he had a really good year defensively last year. He's raised his ceiling in terms of 3-point shooting, and he's still really good off the dribble in terms of, you know, being able to create shots in ISO situations. And I think Donovan Mitchell needs that. Like, I think Donovan needs a front court guy that, you know, he could put the ball in his hands and he can go ahead and ISO. They do that a little bit with Bojan, but it's mostly pinned down screens. And if they go to him at ISO, it's more of a back to the basket thing. Mm-hmm. But Rudy Gay, you can give him the ball on the wings and you can clear out and he can go into, you know, a 5-6 dribble series and create a really good shot.
Yeah. And you can also have Donovan Mitchell and Conley running split cuts off the elbow with him. And it's a guy who can put the ball on the floor. He can step out and reset the offense. I mean, it's just going to add to the tool bag for them, which is important because we know if you want to win a title, you have to be versatile. Tony, you got anything else before we wrap up?
Let's look at the week ahead. What are we looking at?
They're going to be at home, Tony. That to me is the big thing about this team and for this team.
That doesn't still mean they can't lose basketball games.
Well, of course. They just don't drop a lot of games at home, Tony. And so they've got the Pacers who are struggling. They've got another big game a week apart. They've got the Miami Heat on Saturday and then the Sixers on Tuesday, as you mentioned, with no Embiid. And look, I think that they should beat Miami at home. They should beat the Pacers. And no Embiid, they should beat the Sixers. They should win these next three games. You feel pretty confident there?
I would probably favor them in the next three games. I'm interested in the Heat game. I think the Heat game is going to be a good one.
I mean, look, man, that game lived up. I really enjoyed that game.
It was a fantastic basketball game.
And it was, you know, the physicality, like we'll talk about the refereeing a lot this year, but the physical play that has bothered Utah in the past from teams like Miami, you could see the Jazz sort of just steel themselves a little bit against it in that comeback. And I want to see if they can avoid getting pushed out of their comfort zone early in that game on Saturday, because they let that happen last week. I want to see, will they come in with the proper mindset to avoid that first half Miami Heat sort of rush where they come in and it's like, we're going to foul you early, often, and all the time. Can Utah just come out, dominate bell to bell? That's what I want to see out of them, because that's what champions do. And if this is a team that wants to be taken seriously now as a championship contender, which maybe they don't care about, I care. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, one of those things. I mean, Mike Conley mentioned it yesterday, but, you know, the Jazz have yet to kind of put together a full game. I thought they got close with Atlanta on Tuesday, but the Hawks made runs and, you know, so, I mean, they were close to a pretty full game on Tuesday. And maybe they played well because, you know, Donovan and Royce and Hassan and Jordan Clarkson, they all wanted to go and see Jack Harlow, Jack Harlow in concert after that game. So, you know, so maybe they wanted to go ahead and play well and put that game out of reach, so Quinn wouldn't have them running gassers after the game or something like that. So, but, you know, I mean, before that game, you know, Mike Conley said, hey, we haven't put together a full game. We know this, and we know that we need to put together a full game, you know, so I think, you know, that's the goal in this next week. You know, just keep stacking together good days, good practices, good shoot arounds, good games. You know, try to get the shooting back on track, even though, you know, you're not worried about the shooting. But, you know, it's the first time this year that they can get into a pretty consistent routine at home. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
Well, we just put together a full podcast, Tony. How about that?
Hey, listen.
There you go.
This is what we do.
One foot in front of the other. Guys, everybody go follow Tony on the Athletic app or the website so you get notifications when he drops a new story, because, you know, Tony Jones is a must read, right? You get notifications for this podcast when you follow it on the app or if you subscribe on Overcast or Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen. Until next week, for Tony Jones, I'm David Ford. This has been Game Notes.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.